The other day, I visited one of our young men from church. And as I went into his room, we're going to spend a little time together. He had been ill. I saw his laptop open, and it was on. And it was open to something that interested me immensely. It was a John Milton website, or webpage, or whatever you call that. And he was reading Samson, a work by John Milton on Samson. He was up to the part that leads up to the end of Samson's life. So we looked at a few lines together, and then we started talking about John Milton. First, we talked about Samson. We talked about John Milton. And I said, you know, when we had German meetings and we had the German songbook, there was a song there right near the beginning. And it's a John Milton as the author. I know it had to be translated because I'm sure he wrote in English. But I don't know that poem in English. I only know it in German. Dankt dem Herrn mit frohem Mut. Ist freundlich, ist gut, seine Güte ermüdet nie. Ewig, 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 ewig werdet sie. And we talked about that a little bit, and I said, you know, I heard that he wrote that song, I do know the first verse in English, at the age of 15, let us with a gladsome mind praise the Lord, for he is kind, for his mercies endure, ever faithful, ever sure. And this guy looked it up on his John Milton poems site. And sure enough, it was under poems that John Milton wrote at the age of 15 or something like that. And there were several psalms that were paraphrased. What a genius. Anyway, this poem was there with many verses. And all of them ended, for his mercies endure, ever faithful, ever sure. And I'm not sure if I ever knew this, that song is based on, in the German book we only had about five verses or so, so I wouldn't have thought this necessarily, is based on Psalm 136, which is a unique psalm. I'd like you to open to that with me. And those of you who are in Ridgewood Friday night, I know we looked at this psalm together, and it's good to look at it again, okay? There were a few of you that were there. So this is an unusual psalm because every verse in it has a refrain, for his mercy endureth forever. I'm using the King James Version of the Bible. For his mercy endureth forever. Every verse. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, this particular verse, this particular expression, we have in quite a number of places in the Bible. In the Psalms, you have Psalm 107, for instance. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And when you look into what that means, it doesn't mean let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It doesn't mean let the redeemed of the Lord say that they are redeemed, which you might think it may mean, taking the King James Version, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Or you might think it means, when you come to meeting, not this meeting, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know, but it rather means, let the redeemed of the Lord speak thus, speak in this manner, say these words. That's really what it means. This is what we are to say. He is good. His mercy endures forever, and I thank him. That's what we're to be saying. I don't know if anybody said that yet this morning. I know I said it a few times now. But it says, if you're redeemed by the Lord, you should say this. He is good. His mercy endures forever. I thank him. So let's get used to saying that, we redeemed ones. I thank you, Lord. You are good, and your mercy endures forever. And so we give him thanks. Oh, when the troops went out. Remember Jehoshaphat faced with a great army, great odds. He didn't know what to do. He was frightened, and the people with him. And he did something so right. It's such a good example for us. He prayed. He turned to the Lord. They waited on God. They admitted, acknowledged that they had no power. They didn't know what to do. So they had no power and they had no wisdom. And they waited. And it doesn't tell us how long they stood in the presence of the Lord. Sometimes I think maybe it was for a while. But then the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the brethren in that congregation, one of the leading men, and he prophesied. And he gave a word of encouragement. And no doubt, or I feel quite sure, that not everything is recorded for us, because there must have also been instructions given for how to go out against the foe. And it was different also. I said this psalm is unique, and our choir was unique, and this story is unique. This battle is unique. Usually you would think you would put your best and strongest and mighty men at the forefront of the battle. And they put the singers and the worshipers first. But this is what they sang. Did you ever notice? The story always says how they went first, and the singers went before the warriors. And God gave a great victory because he went forth and fought for his people. But it tells us what they sang. It says they praised the Lord or worshiped the Lord in the beauty of holiness, which is one of our camp theme songs, and that comes from the Psalms and from the Word of God. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And they said this, his mercy endures forever. That's what they said. They were in front. The enemy's coming right at them. What would you say? Let me out of here. They said, his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. When we read about God being good, I think of the use of that word, which must have changed over the years. I said this in meeting on Friday night when we were kids in school. Maybe you're in the same generation. We had report cards, and they had two pages, and with your report on the inside, two pages, and there were these long columns, and you were either excellent, good, maybe needs improvement or fair, and then not good at all, unsatisfactory, right? Okay, so you were E, G, F, or U, right? Fair, well, whatever it was. You wanted excellence. You did not want good. I mean, and you definitely did not want to go home with needing improvement or unsatisfactory. You wanted excellence, especially if you had two sisters who got, a bad day was six excellence and one good for them. And so you came home feeling good that you got maybe 4 and 3 or 5 and 2. Oh, no, I got all excellence. I got, you know. So anyway, that was okay. I don't have time for this, but I remember Mr. Troy, 11th grade social studies. My parents went up and they said something about, we're both in the same class, I had a twin sister, and they said something, they compared us somehow, and he said, oh, don't worry about your son, you know, the boys just take a little longer, and then they, and that's what happened. anyway, well, at least he had, he was having some faith for me, I don't know. He but good when it's God? What does it mean? It has to be better than excellent. I mean, God alone is excellent too, the Bible says, but God's goodness is superlative goodness. I mean, it's goodness beyond measure. It's good, you know, that kind of good, right? And so, oh, we give thanks. He is good. God is good. And I often think of this. If you come to Ridgewood, you've heard me say this before about the goodness of God being good. It's not the way we use the word now. Yeah, that's, you know, it's all right. It's good, you know. It's more like what came in more recently, all good. You know, you often hear that, all good. And even better than that. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. So we're to worship him and praise him and thank him and adore him for his superlative goodness. He is good beyond anything that we can imagine. His loving kindness is great. The earth is full of the loving kindness of the Lord. His mercies endure forever. His steadfast love, it may say in some of your translations, or his love endures forever. He is good to all. His tender mercies are over all his works, and especially good to his own people, a people saved by the Lord, a people to whom he manifests his goodness in such wonderful, numerous, such abundant ways. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, greatest of all, no God like our God. No God like our God. Jesus has that title, doesn't he? King of kings and Lord of lords. Everything is subservient to him. All power, all authority is given unto me, he could say, in heaven and on earth. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods. Who is a God like our God? Micah was given that word at the end of his prophecy. And that's what his name means, no God like ours. I think he was probably thinking about that. His parents certainly were praising the Lord when they named him. But God let him use his name in his prophecy. I like that. And at the end, there's no God. And you know what it is in relation to? His mercy. His grace, his forgiveness. No God like our God. He forgives sins. He casts them into the depths of the sea. What God would do something like that? Our God. Our God has loved us. We New Testament people can say he has loved us in Christ. And he gave his Son to die for us, that we might be forgiven, that we might know peace with God. We sang that before too. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods. There is no God like our God. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. Here's the reason, the great reason that we thank God. You've noticed that when God revealed his name to Moses, that's where he started. He said, there's a place by me, come. I'm going to show you. Ask to see my glory. You can't see my glory, you know, head on in all of its fullness, but I'm showing you something wonderful. I'm giving you a taste of what you asked for. And he revealed his name to Moses, and he started with this, the Lord God, merciful and gracious. One of the hymn writers wrote, great God of wonders, all thy ways are matchless, godlike and divine, but the vast glories of thy grace, more godlike and unrivaled shine. So if you can put a value, and I think we're maybe stepping somewhere where it's hard to go. But let's just say God put it first. He said it first. He put it first, merciful and gracious. And this, I guess, having experienced it, the hymn writer wrote, "The vast glories of thy grace, more godlike and unrivaled shine. Who is a pardoning God like thee," it says, "or who has grace so rich and free? No God like our God." And here we have it. In this psalm, you have God's goodness in creation and then God's goodness in salvation. And the second has a lot more space given to it. So perhaps we don't have to read the refrain every time, but we have a few verses on God's great and mighty works to him who alone doeth great wonders. And then in both creation and in redemption, to him who alone doeth great wonders, to him that by wisdom made the heavens, to him that stretched out the earth above the waters, to him that made great lights, the sun to rule by day, the moon and stars to rule by night. God's goodness is expressed here in creation, and his mercy endures forever. He is so great. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, who alone does great wonders, and who created all that we see and that we don't see. It all comes from his mighty power, his glorious wisdom. But now we come to salvation. His wonderful works that he has done. He redeemed his people. Let's just read verse 10 through 24 or so. Speaks about his saving power, his wonderful grace, this glorious redemption. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, and brought out Israel from among them with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, to him which divided the Red Sea into parts and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, to him which led his people through the wilderness, to him which smote great kings and slew famous kings, Sihon king of the Amorites, Og the king of Bashan, and gave their land for an heritage, even an heritage unto Israel his servant, who remembered us in our low estate and hath redeemed us from our enemies. What a wonderful passage of God's saving works, redemptive acts for his people. His mercy endures forever. The psalmist says, let's sing it out. Let's repeat it. As that other song, sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ receiveth sinful men. And some of the folks in church notice that when we sing that song, I sing the chorus maybe 2, 3, 4 times. That's what it says to do. Sing it over and over again. So you don't just sing it once. Christ receiveth sinful men. What mercy! And that includes the women, doesn't it? And all the boys and girls that come to him. It was time for Israel to be delivered from their bondage in Egypt. They were oppressed. I'm sure many wondered if God even saw them or remembered them. But God said to Moses at the burning bush, I have surely seen. I think it's, I don't know, when he says it to Moses, he says it one way, and when he says it through Stephen's sermon in Acts, I think it's, I have seen, That's just emphasizing it, isn't it? I have surely seen. And not only have I seen, I have heard. I have heard their groanings. And then I have come down to deliver them. And am sending you. You're going to be my vessel, my instrument for the deliverance of my people. I have seen. I have heard. I have come down. I will save. I'm bringing them forth. I'm bringing them out unto myself. And so you remember how the king, Pharaoh, was the Pharaoh in Egypt, didn't want to let them go. He was, I'm sure, very happy to have their diligent labor. And so God sent these plagues. And it seemed at times that he was responsive to them, and then his heart was hardened. And all of this in God's plan and providence. Till this terrible last plague, when the firstborn of Egypt, all of them were slain, and everyone in every house, someone was killed, it says, except those houses that were covered by the blood of the Lamb. Those houses, God's people, they had received the instruction to kill the Lamb and put blood on the doorposts and the lintel, to put the blood in front of their homes. And it says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. But what an awful cry went up in Egypt when the firstborn was slain. And it says here that God did that and brought out Israel from among them with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm. And then he divides the Red Sea into parts. As they got there, you remember there was no way to turn. And behind them, the Egyptian pursuers, the chariots were coming to get them, and the armies of Pharaoh, and there was no way to go, and God showed them the way. In Psalm 77 at the end says, who knew? Who could know? Thy footsteps were not known. Who could know that your way was in the sea, that your way was through the sea? No one could know that, but God knew what he was going to do and the way that he would bring glory to his name and rescue his people. And then that Pharaoh and the armies followed them. That's always been amazing to me, as long as I can remember. They had to be watching and knowing that this was more than unusual. So that this was had to be supernatural. The waters are divided and standing up, and the people passing through on dry land. How did they dare to go through? I don't know. That always puzzled me. And of course, probably partly because I know the rest of the story, but still it puzzled me that they had this hubris to just walk through. I guess they liked the dry land too and thought, wow, this is a good way. We'll pursue them and we'll get them. And then what does it say? He overthrew Pharaoh. He made Israel pass through the midst of the sea and overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. To him which led his people through the wilderness. And we know so much about those wilderness wanderings, don't we? How he faithfully guided them just the way that he wanted them to go, so that they might have the experiences that they needed to have. And how he provided for them, and how he protected them, and how he fought for them and worked in their behalf again and again, showing his power, showing his wisdom, showing his great ability and his love for them. Oh, sing praises, give thanks to the Lord who is good. His mercy endures forever. Then here it speaks about his fighting for them. He smote great kings, famous kings. These two kings that are mentioned were smitten or defeated during the time of Moses. And their land was given to a few of the tribes as the period to enter the land came. He gave their land for an heritage, even an heritage unto Israel his servant. For his mercy endureth forever. Every verse, thank God he is good, his mercy endures forever. And then he remembered us, bringing it down. It's not just the history, but he has remembered us, the psalmist says, in our low estate. Don't we like to include ourselves there? I think we can as we sing this song. He has remembered us in our low estate. Another song Brother Paul played before meeting. He saved me from my lost estate. His loving kindness, oh, how great. He remembered me, he remembered you, he remembered us in our lowest state, and he has redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endures forever. And then he is good to all. We read in Psalm 145, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. And Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, he makes his rain to fall on the just and on the unjust. God is merciful. God is good to all. And Jesus called his disciples to be like their Father. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. But here it says, he gives food to all flesh. Sister Nancy's here, and how often I think of her departed husband. I'm sure she thinks of him even more often. Now, there she is sitting right in front of me. What a blessing he was in our church, and still is every time we think of him. And one of the things he rejoiced in was how God has put into this world everything that we need. I heard him say that again and again. All these people everywhere, he'd say, food for the hungry, food for the animals, food for the vegetation. It's there, the rain falling, heat for our homes. He would just rejoice in that. Things that you might take for granted. He said, God did all this. He put it all here. Yeah. We had to go and get it, that's true, but we wouldn't have been able to make it or make it happen either, even though we had a part or have to have a part. But he often said that. He would go into the supermarket, and you know how they set it up so nicely now in these places around here. You've been in Price Chopper, there's a new one in Warrensburg, and then the real gigantic one down in... is that Glens Falls? Anyway, you see how they set up the produce, and it's so beautiful. And I'm sure in Queens, where he lived, it was on a smaller scale, but still, some of the people in the stores, I think they take pride in the way they stack those things and all the different colors, and then you think of how good that's going to be on the table at home and on our plates. And he would go into the... He told us this. He loved to witness, and he would go into the supermarket, and he would stand there in awe, and then someone would come up. Maybe they'd be complaining. I mean, that's the usual, right? About something, maybe the prices, or something. And he would say, look at that. That's God. Who would ever think of doing that, right? That's God. I often think of Brother Costanza and his blessings. There's his grandson over there too. And he giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. And of course, along with this verse, I can't help but think of the whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Whosoever will may come. May come, his wonderful invitation, if any man thirst. Jesus said, let him come to me and drink. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. His wonderful works, he alone does great wonders. And if we just stop and think of the wonderful things that he has done for every single one of us, Our hearts will be overwhelmed with gratitude. Oh, give thanks. Give thanks unto the Lord. He is good. He is good. God is good. And not only is he good, you know, out there, that's important that we proclaim that. But it's also wonderful to know that God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. To me, and to testify of that to others, and just rejoice in his goodness. We can revel in his goodness and his mercy. His merciful kindness is great towards us. I was going to turn, you don't have to turn, but I was going to turn to Psalm 118. But right before that is the shortest psalm in the Bible. That also preaches the gospel to the nations. It's not just for the Jewish people, but oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. And Psalm 118, I guess you have the closest to Psalm 136, which I said is unique. But in Psalm 118, at the beginning, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Again, it says this, his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. You can fit yourself into those three categories, we New Testament people. Let Israel now say, remember, they are not all Israel who are of Israel, but we are of Israel who have believed on Jesus. We are the circumcision who worship God in Christ Jesus. Right? Oh no, we worship God in the Spirit and we rejoice in Christ Jesus and we have no confidence in the flesh. We have come to put our trust in the Lord. So let Israel now say, come on Israel, that his mercy endureth forever. Now the house of Aaron, how do we fit ourselves in there? Well, God has made us to be his priests, and we stand before him, we worship him, and pray in the Holy Spirit. So let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. And then let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. And now the end of the psalm. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Forever, ever faithful, as Milton put it at the age of 15, ever faithful. His mercies endure, ever faithful, ever sure. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. In our song, may Jesus Christ be praised, it said, let this be the eternal song through all the ages long. May Jesus Christ be praised. Well, you know, eternity, eternal song has to start somewhere. So let it start in all of our hearts. And he's put a new song there. Let's sing it. Praise and thanksgiving to the God who is good, whose mercy endures forever. Let's sing in three flats, please. The last two verses of Psalm 118, if you want to keep it open. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. My God, and I will praise thee. As I looked at that song with my brother the other day on his laptop, one of the many verses said something like this. I just remember the one word in particular. Let his praise, encouraging God's people, let his praise now warble forth. And that just struck me. Let his praise now warble forth. That's helped me remember that we got to praise the Lord. I actually looked the word up in the dictionary, and the third definition was yodel for some of you Swiss people. So that means praise the Lord. Come on, we want to praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be his name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Hallelujah. Bless his holy name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 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 Praise the Lord, for he is kind. We praise you with a gladsome mind. Praise you, Lord. Praise you. Praise you. Praise you. Oh, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, to sing praises to his name. Blessed be the name of the Most High. Hallelujah. Exalted far above all, we praise you, our Father in heaven. We praise you, our Savior. Praise you, God of salvation. Praise you, Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and Spirit. We bless the name of the Lord. We bless the holy name of the Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We praise you, Lord. Glory, glory to God. Glory to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are safe. The name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless your holy name, O God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise your holy name. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Give thanks, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. 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 Take these hymn books and sing number 54. Let's stand as we sing. As you find it, we'll sing that chorus again. For mercies so great, what return can I make? For mercies so constant and praise ye the triune God.
Praise ye the Father for his loving kindness, tenderly cares he for his erring children. Praise him, praise him in the heavens.
Hallelujah. Oh, let us praise you, Lord. Let us praise you. Give you the glory that is your due, Lord. May all of us as your people give you the glory that is your due, Lord. You are good. Your mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Forever, Lord. Forever. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Now, I just want to say that I neglected to say, in connection with the offering, that the offering this morning, as every Sunday morning during the season, was taken for the Children's Fund. And that fund is established and exists to help children who may not otherwise be able to come to camp, to be able to do so, to pay their camp fees. And so it's given out judiciously and places where there is true need, and it's a very worthy cause. And if somebody wanted to add to their donation, had I said that, maybe you would have given more. I don't know if you're allowed to take back, but I just wanted you to know what it was for, and I had neglected to say that. So anytime you want to, you can take care of donations such as that in the office. It doesn't have to be Sunday morning. And now we should have a Trinitarian benediction, shouldn't we? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.